Last week there was an audio issue, and this week there was 60 minutes of troubleshooting for my interface. But we're here. We're here, and we have our hibiscus flowers that are cups of fire.
I've got a giant glass mug full of tea here.
Do you like my sick Sarah Teasdale reference?
Is that what that was?
Hibiscus flowers are cups of fire. There was an a cappella rendition of Sarah Teasdale poems that I sang for University of Minnesota Chamber Singers when I was in uni. And one particular poem of hers had the words, either hers or something else, had the words driftwood burning in it, just sort of apropos of nothing else. And there was a day where the guest conductor, so the U of M Chamber Singers had a principal conductor who was like on staff, but basically it was always conducted by the grad students. And this was one of the grad students' projects, and she was like really, really honing in on this driftwood burning line. And we would, and I was just sitting behind the altos having to just like, there's just this one little segment where all they would say, like the sopranos and the basses were humming something, some chord, and then the altos would just kind of be in the background, kind of going, driftwood burning, driftwood burning. Now, again, driftwood burning.
This is an incredibly specific anecdote you have drilled in on.
I just turn over to the guy next to me, whose name I cannot remember. I remember exactly what he looks like, but I don't remember his name. And I just go, driftwood burning. And we're just giggling the whole time.
Did he laugh?
Oh, of course he did. So that's what hibiscus makes me think of. Should we get started?
Let's get started.
We escape our frozen doom and search for our son,
Sean,
but get distracted by much more interesting stories and characters along the way.
Buzz, storm of buzz, and we're going to tell you about how we saved the world.
Hello! Hello,
hello!
Oh, you really got me there with that, Sean. There's a cup of fire going up my nose. I had a sip of hibiscus.
And you swallowed it wrong?
Well, no, it just, yeah, I kind of coughed it and a little bit went up my nose. Welcome to Storm Buds, the video game podcast where all these segments are Final Fantasy XIV jokes. I am your host of Light, Jerome Barbatsis, and I'm joined by my co-host of Light, Alexander Hambrock. As always, say hello.
Welcome to the wasteland.
Welcome back from your 200-year slumber. You are a lawyer and or war veteran, and you are going to look for your son in the wastes of Fallout 4. We're talking Fallout 4 today.
Boy, 200 years in a vat will give you such a crick in the neck.
Such a crick in the... was about to say the C word.
What C word?
Crockpot. So we are, as we've been talking about all month, this is Fallout month. This is Fallout 4, the episode, the big, our newfound adventure kind of deal. This is what we've been alluding to this whole time. We're very excited to talk about it. If you are just joining us, we have a whole month of Fallout episodes. You should absolutely listen to.
I think they're quite good. They're some of our best work.
Yes, we're getting into the swing of things. And if you go way back, you'll find our catalog of a complete playthrough of Final Fantasy 14 from Realm Reborn all the way up to Endwalker. So you could go back and enjoy that. But for right now, we're talking Fallout 4. It's in the zeitgeist because of the new Amazon Prime show. And we have a lot to talk about. We did. We spent as much time as we could because this game is massive. It is the latest still in Bethesda's Fallout catalog. Open world game came out in 2015. So almost 10 years ago. And we will be talking about the entire thing. So if you do not want to be spoiled for this game, understandable, respectable. Come back after you spend 70 to 100 hours exploring the world of Fallout 4 and then come and listen to our thoughts on it. Do you have anything else you want to say about Fallout 4 specifically, like the maybe the release or what?
I will say up front, you played a lot more of this than I did. I didn't have as much time as I hoped to this month. So while I'll certainly be speaking to some of my high-level impressions, especially of the early game stuff, a lot of what I'll be doing is also asking you questions about the game as a whole.
Uh-oh, I'm going to have to think on my feet. And we all know what happens when I have to do that.
Oh, don't worry. There's early game stuff I can talk about in some depth if we need to fill time.
I get more frozen than the Vault Dweller.
Dead air.
Dead ass air. So this was a controversial game on release, and it still kind of is, but I think it's a lot easier to look back and enjoy it these days. Bethesda also just released a next gen update to help support this thing, and let me just pull up an article I had open before my computer needed to be restarted 20 times. This is from Insider Gaming, an article written by Grant Taylor Hill as of today. Fallout 4's next-gen update is a broken mess.
Oh, boy.
Fallout fans waited for years for the next-gen update for Fallout 4. From the moment it was teased, Bethesda went relatively silent on the topic, instead focusing on more important projects like Starfield, blah, blah, blah. In short, it was not worth the wait. PC players are complaining that ultra-wide support, a new feature added with the next-gen update, doesn't work properly, and in the densest areas of the game, the frame rate is still experiencing drawbacks. Apparently they added some new quests up in the Pip-Boy. Maybe some of the DLC was added into it. I don't know. There was a slight graphical update, I guess. Users on the Steam Deck.
I was playing today and I didn't notice anything.
Yeah, it's hard. You would have to see a side by side. Users on the Steam Deck have reported having their settings wiped by the update, which is another issue. The creators of the Fallout London mod, which was a huge, huge, like expansion level mod that the modding community put together, and Bethesda has been usually very welcoming of mods, revealed that the sudden drop of the next gen update has thrown their project completely into disarray.
Yeah, they changed it to no known release date. They didn't even say, hey, we're pushing out 2 weeks. They were like, we're not sure when this is coming out.
This was slated to release this at the end of this month too. So they're just like, well, now we have to, that's unfortunate for them, but that is the breaks. We won't spend too much time. I won't really spend any more time talking about the next gen update because most of the playthrough was in the old gen update. Let's get into the flow of the episode. We're going to talk general thoughts. We're going to talk about the gameplay, the setting, the tone. We're going to break that down. Think about what we like, what we don't like of each of those elements, and then we will talk about the main story. After we kind of talk about the general gameplay, we'll talk about what we liked, what we didn't like about that, some of our favorite moments, some of our least favorite moments, characters, sorts of things, all sorts of things that you can come to love and expect from an episode of StormBuds. So what are your general thoughts on Fallout 4 having started the game?
So
how many hours did you put into it?
Like 11.
Yeah.
So.
Okay. That makes sense.
I got engaged this month. It's been busy.
Yeah. Congratulations.
So some context here is, and I've kind of alluded to this, but I'll just say it straight out. I hate Fallout 3. It is one of my least favorite games of all time. I am actively sort of hostile towards that game. Mm. I came into Fallout 4 expecting to feel similarly about it. I will say so far, I like Fallout 4 somewhat better than Fallout 3. I think that a lot of the worst sins of Fallout 3 are not present or at least are somewhat mitigated here.
Yeah.
I still don't know that I'm having a great time playing this game. There's still a lot of the stuff going on in this game still doesn't really work for me. So I'm going to be a bit more critical this episode. I'm trying not to be mean. I'm going to try not to be sort of like overly harsh, but there's a lot of stuff that just doesn't really work for me in Fallout 4 that is in ways carried over from Fallout 3, I think.
Yeah, and I want to be as fair as possible to this game. On the other side of the spectrum, I did complete the main story and a reasonable playthrough and started a second one, so clearly I don't hate this game. but I will say that it was... There is a... For me, I think that Fallout 4 was a very, very slow burn. And the opening of the game, once you're not familiar with the quirks of any given Bethesda game that come with it, or you know what's overpowered, what's underpowered, it can be a real struggle. Especially, I think Fallout 4 mitigates that struggle a lot less than Fallout 3 and New Vegas does, to be quite honest. I think it is a much more accessible game mechanically to approach.
Yes, definitely.
I didn't start having fun until around level 20 or so with my build.
Yeah, and it
took
like
a while. Yeah, it takes a while. And I want to talk about some of the general gameplay here. So the gameplay of Fallout is largely Bethesda-like. It is just a first person, or you can toggle into third person over the shoulder, but why? For a first person shooter, and you just kind of shoot and then your bullet goes in a random direction, unless you slow time by pressing, in this game, Q for the VATS menu.
Which should...
Weird.
I should always be V. I need to rebind it, because having it right next to the tab means I just keep pulling up the Pip-Boy instead of...
Yeah. It's a clunky initial design there. So the combat is that you do that, you have a reservoir of AP that you can spend for bullet time shots, just like every other Fallout game. But frankly, it's not worth it. Engaging in that much, unless your perception is super high and you're specifically building for it. Maybe you're going for a high perception, high luck VATS build with Mysterious Stranger.
That's actually what I am doing. I'm going high perception, high luck.
Okay, yeah, that seems rough though, because then I mean you're gonna need a lot of ability points regeneration. You're gonna need to find as many Nuka-Colas as you can, but otherwise my thoughts on combat are that it's kind of a snooze in general. I think shooting is expensive, unreliable, and weak outside of nukes and missiles. And I've done a second playthrough where I'm just a solar-powered tanky dude with a tire iron, and it's absurdly easier. It is, the game is very much not balanced in that way.
Yeah, like it's like the issue I was having early on was like I was, and admittedly part of this is because I kind of wandered off the path a bit. I took a very roundabout way.
As you should.
I took a roundabout way to get to Diamond City that took me through kind of like the eastern portion where you end up heading to find Nick Valentine. So I encountered a lot of like super mutants and high level ghouls and stuff like that.
Great.
A few levels higher than I should have. And at that point, I was really finding it really kind of a slog. It just felt like, I guess you have to
go back and grind sometimes if you're not abusing the busted stuff.
Yeah.
So I also want to mention here that with AP and VATS, the VATS in this game in particular, because of the way the environment is set up and the way the pacing is of the combat, the time slowdown just ends up being really awkward, and the animations sort of take out the tension of everything, and they kind of put you at a disadvantage a lot of the times with things kind of dashing and attacking in ways that are irregular, and just again without really good perception, you're just more likely to miss anyway. So it feels, shooting in this game does not feel particularly good. Plus, I want to mention that a lot of the object hitboxes are 2015 object hitboxes, and they do not coincide with their graphics. So trying to duck for cover and shoot around corners will end up wasting more bullets more often than not, because you're just going to hit an invisible part of a tree that you can't see, like, oh, okay, great. And your bullets just aren't going to go where you're aiming more than half the time anyway.
And like, and really, like, the sin of this, like, the real problem I have with this is that, so we've been watching the Fallout TV show with two of our friends who have no familiarity with Fallout whatsoever.
Yeah, as we mentioned.
And both of those friends have kind of like been like expressed an interest in the Fallout games as a result of that show. Mm-hmm. And I have had to kind of be like, I don't know, like, to get the interesting stuff that you're enjoying in the show, you have to get through a lot of really kind of tedious combat in between the good bits.
I think the combat, there's a way to make it fun and silly, but you just kind of have to.
It's kind of counterintuitive.
Get to the end. It doesn't. It takes a really long time to get there, but it gets there.
What makes it fun when it gets there? Yeah.
Well, what I did was I did a sneak build. I did a sneak attack build with Ninja and Sandman and silenced weapons, and it was freaking miserable, because literally everything gets the drop on you in this game at the start. Is like, because there's just mole rats popping up the ground. There's feral ghouls that you don't know where they're coming from, and it's just, and the mire lurks and the death claws and the and the this and the that. There's just, and the bugs are so annoying to try and hit silent with anything, and you don't even get access to silenced weapons until you level your gun nut perk, which we'll talk about to level 2 anyway. So I'm like, well, okay, half the thing I was trying to do isn't going to be accessible until I get the right things anyway. But once you do get the pieces into place, there's a lot of ways to play this game very differently that are very fun. And so I guess I'll skip forward to the kind of character building. This is like the rest of Fallout, the rest of the Fallout series, where you have your base stats, your special stats. And I think that character building in this game is like 80% really good. It does the sort of cardinal sin of having a few perks that have like a lot of levels where you're spending a level up incrementally increasing something. That is very, that's a little bit unsexy, though they do pepper them in with some tiered upgrades that make it worth it. Like the sneaking trait, once you get it to levels 2 or 3, you can actually sneak past mines, which are fucking everywhere, by the way.
Yeah, for some reason.
They're just everywhere, random places that, and you're just, so I just ended up having to sneak my way across the Commonwealth.
Yeah, like, I do on the balance.
So you either have to do that, or you have to just be so tough that the mines don't really matter.
I do on the balance think that this character build system works better than mm-hmm. Fallout 3 for certain, but also, like you said, like kind of like the merging and, of like the special stuff and the traits all into one pool that pulls on one shared resource does feel like, yeah, it's a sort of thing like, well, I could pick a thing that gives me like a whole new ability or a whole new sort of like thing, yeah, I'm accessing, or yeah, I could put one more point into endurance. So I got the power armor early on, which the game is so eager to give you the power armor immediately. Mm-hmm. And I used it until the fuel cell ran out.
Yeah.
And then since then, I've come across a lot more fuel cells, but I have not gone back to grab the power armor. Do you think I'm supposed to be using it more?
Oh, it's up to you. Probably if you have the power armor traits, I would, but otherwise.
Okay.
I mean, I didn't because I was sneaking around. You can't really sneak in power armor that much, so I can't say from my experience. I want to dive into the last bit, the last kind of, the third kind of thing that this game has going for it. It's the base building in this game.
Yes.
Bad.
I don't know. Like, I don't enjoy it, but I'm not into these kind of games. I know there are some people who are really, really
no,
into
this is, this can't be good. This just can't. The interface is terrible. It's like a super unresponsive with slow menu navigation. You tab over and the places don't, the categories don't make sense. There's a bell that you can build that will get all your villagers into one spot, and it's just in like it's a bell that's made out of wood and metal. And you're like, oh, maybe this is like a wooden structure or metal or something. I don't know. No, it's just in resources and miscellaneous. And you're like, huh, okay. There's just all sorts of things that require a lot of perks to get into that end up having, oh, no impact whatsoever on the gameplay or story. There's this whole sort of army building, recruiting thing where you're trying to do good for the Commonwealth and give people places to stay that are secure with food and water. And the idea is there because that is what probably, that is sort of the anti-capitalist message of like building communes and community and trying to rebuild after disaster together. But ultimately, it has absolutely no impact on the main story whatsoever, and all it does is get Preston Garvey to meme on you nonstop about villagers that need your help. The buttons in the interface are like the same buttons will do multiple very disparate things, and the most egregious example is that the menu back button on keyboard is tab, and then select the item that your cursor is on is also tab. So that that's you're trying so, to go back like, in the menu and you actually just pick up your entire house and you're like, no, it's the most frustrating.
Plus, is a lot of work in this game. They get a lot of work. Use
if
tab.
You're playing on keyboard. Yeah, maybe it's better on controller and I should do it. But then you can't like aim. So fuck. I mean, I don't know. Probably should have just done a controller with melee the whole time. The last thing is that this system is totally abusable. For experience, on my second playthrough, I'm using a perk. I have one intelligence, and I'm just using a perk called Idiot Savant that gives you three times experience for the next 30 seconds or whatever from all things. And I just spam fence posts the whole time, and I got to level like 12 in 3 minutes.
Wait, shit! I should do that.
It's ridiculous. I mean, Idiot Savant is by far the most busted leveling perk in the game. If you're not doing 10 intelligence, you should do 1 intelligence with Idiot Savant and then just like once you max everything else out, put it all into your intelligence perks. Because it triggers more often the lower your intelligence is. So that's it's just outrageous. And you get level 2 of that at level 11, so that like it goes to 5 times experience. And that can trigger for major quests. So you just get a major quest turn. You just like save scum. And if you don't get your idiot savant proc, you reload your save.
That was the thing I was going to say earlier also was this game, the way that this game looks and the area in which it comes out did not prime me for how much of a save scummy game this actually is.
Oh, it's so scary.
I'm having a much easier time now that I'm like, okay, I'm going to quick save in the middle of this combat encounter and we're going to take a half dozen attempts to take out this guy.
Yeah, Baldur's Gate learned a lot from this. Mm-hmm. The same deal with romance. Romancing a character is just one persuasion check after your quest line is done with them, and it's just like, and it's so awkward because it is just like a melange or a medley of them being like, no, I don't know. No, I'm not sure that. Ooh, you're getting the wrong idea. No, sorry. Wait, you think so too? So that kind of takes away some of the flair of the romance. You could also just wait 2 days and ask them again. You don't have to accept their rejection in this game.
One thing I want to say about the base building stuff also.
Yeah.
Because like you kind of touched on it, but even before we get into the story, just in terms of the setting, like part of the issue... I've always kind of had this issue, but I think it's really acute in the Bethesda games in Fallout 3 and Fallout 4. I think 200 years is too long of a time jump, or rather, I think that it is ridiculous that, like, why has no one cleaned up any of the rubble?
The world looks like, I mean, yeah, the world looks like it doesn't look like it's been 200 years. It looks like this happened maybe 100 years ago, right? Like yeah. we know that radiation lasts for a long time. Maybe they had to because they did the math from like the Chernobyl incident and they're like, this isn't going to be, you can't even get anywhere near it for another 200, 300 years or something. And so they had to. But also in this universe, there are people who were out, who have been out for more than 100 years. Like, there is still so much loot to be had. Like, all of these places should be picked clean at this point.
Well, and like,
and also maybe rebuilt a little bit.
Yeah, like the base building ends up unintentionally feeling like you got to do everything for these assholes because no one does anything.
No
for
one
themselves.
Knows how to make a sleeping bag out of cotton.
Or like early on, you come across that diner, I think, with that woman who sells the drugs and the two guys trying to rob her or whatever.
Yeah,
and afterwards you talk, which. By the way, I told the guys to put down your gun, and my character goes, drop the gun! And the combat starts. I was trying to de-escalate, and the whole thing went south.
Yeah.
But afterwards, you talk to her, and she's like, well, I run a shop out of here. And I'm like, you run a shop out of here? Because there's a pre-war corpse sitting in the booth, like 8 feet away from
you.
And when you set up to make your shop here, you didn't remove the corpses or, like, get rid of any of the piles of bricks.
That's part of the ambiance, I guess.
I hate the ambiance. It drives me insane.
It's a little poorly thought out, but it's also a great reason to not take this game seriously.
Yes. You know, I think
into Fallout 4 and just try to let the stupidity of the satire of it all wash over you, because it is satire. It's a commentary on the greed and avarice and selfishness and laziness of human nature. It is exaggerating these things to point out that current human behavior, this to kind of, if we were transported 200 years ago and we lost all our systems, perhaps or 200 years in the future, perhaps this is how things would turn out for us. But perhaps not also.
Yeah, perhaps not also. And I think, like, I think that holds up into a point.
Yeah.
But, like, and again, not to keep going back to Fallout 3, but Fallout 3 does end up wanting you to take its main story kind of seriously. And I get the impression that, like, this one also is going to, like, it's not a joke what is going on. It does want you to believe that there are stakes to what's happening. And I think the stakes are stupid.
We'll talk more about my thoughts on our thoughts on the main story in a moment. The last bit of gameplay I want to cover is the exploration, which is great in this game, and I think it's the most exploration friendly of the Fallouts.
Agreed.
You're really not being that railroaded. There are some parts on like the East and the Deep South where you're like, hey, don't go here yet until you're higher level. But it's great when you're not being jump scared nonstop by ghouls, mole rats, mire lurks, death claws, and landmines that are everywhere. And once I learned to just sort of spam Q for vats everywhere to just see where any monster may be lurking or where some of the ghouls are on the ground, but they're not actually dead. So you just spam the vats, everything. I was like, great, my ring finger is going to be swole as hell. And I'm now on my second playthrough, and the jump scares that are, they're just kind of devoid of fun, and I'm kind of skipping past all the stuff I explored previously. And they kind of I went through the super duper mart again, and knowing that all of the freaking ghouls were just going to come out of every window or whatever, it just sort of, they actively detracted from my enjoyment of the zone as opposed to adding to it, like being like, oh, feeling like I knew things or I was cool. I was just like, oh, here we go again. I have to left click this guy. I have to left click this damn zombie in one shot. I don't know.
To be nice about this game, yes, I think the exploration is the best of the 3D Fallouts. Mm. I think that also successfully recreates the experience of being lost in Boston, which is you just are walking down the street and all of a sudden you've turned 90 degrees, but you don't know how, and it's impossible to locate.
Yeah, so the setting, for anyone that's not familiar, a typical retrofuturism post-apocalyptic shindig, but on the East Coast in the greater Boston area, now known as the Commonwealth. I think the DLCs also go to different states. One goes to like an island off the coast of Maine, which I think is really popular. We didn't buy any of the DLCs, as far as I know. I definitely didn't. And four factions kind of vie for power or freedom in the area for various different compelling reasons, but you won't actually know about any of that until 70 hours into the game. This game is it's such a slow burn, and while you're doing that, you're just getting distracted by these really, really cool sort of mysteries, these kind of micro mysteries that Fallout does best. You may run into Lexington, into a middle school, wherein you discover a secret vault. A vault that this is vault, 75. It's a particularly good one. It's like, cool, you discovered I discovered this thing, and I was making my way through it, defusing all the traps, getting the raiders, and finding the story of what was going on through the terminal, and eventually making it to the Overseer's terminal and finding out, oh my God, there's this experiment on these children trying to breed and rebreed these children into super children, but they eventually became so super. And then one schmott guy who they were breeding to be the next Overseer was like, this is fucked up. And he just betrayed everyone, and then suddenly they had all these super children soldiers that killed all the scientists, and then they got out of the vault and probably became raiders or something. I don't know. But that was
that's the fun stuff.
That's the fun stuff. Yeah. And the thing that's great about that is that kind of stuff. But the thing that detracts from it is the tonal whiplash you get when dialogue is full of what I like to call thin Hollywood snark.
Yes. The dialogue in this game is not good.
It's not good most of the time. Some characters are better than others. Piper and Nick Valentine are particular highlights in terms of...
I like both of them so far.
They are well worth your time. Deacon is a synth from the railroad who constantly changes his shape, and it's like a big kind of, he tries to treat it off like a joke, but you're also like trying to free enslaved synths the whole time, and it's weird. It's another weird tonal whiplash. I really didn't spend much time with him, so if his storyline gets more serious and he's like, I keep changing because I don't know who I am or if I'm a real person or not or something, I don't know. But I was very uninterested by that companion in particular. Also, Diamond City Radio sucks ass.
It's not great.
It's so bad.
It's not good, unfortunately. I just put in classical music most of the time.
That's not even that good. It's there, I guess.
At least the tonal contrast between classical music and me gunning down a bunch of...
So let's explain why Diamond City Radio sucks ass. The soundtrack's there. It's fine. It's got Ella Fitzgerald. It's got your Bing Crosby, your mid-century classics. But it's got this fucking DJ, and I looked for this DJ. I couldn't find him in Diamond City. I wanted to murk him so bad. I wanted to just, oh, wait, maybe they replace him. I don't know. I didn't find any quest
for
him.
Is he not the guy in the back of Diamond City who lives in like the little tiny hut and runs the radio station?
Maybe I just didn't see him. Maybe I just didn't explore it good enough. Maybe I missed it. Maybe I'm dumb.
You find him and he's super shy. He's like, oh, could you please not touch my stuff? Like, he seems like he's like totally
God, a different personality. I really want to kill him because he's so annoying.
Go check the back of Diamond City.
I will do that. All he does is, yeah, he's meek the whole time. He's like, oh, nobody's listening. And it's like, you know, when I get self-deprecating and that annoys you, it's like, it's like that, but 20 times worse. And it's really hard not to be like, my God, I miss Mr. Vegas so much.
It is.
Mr. Look, Vegas is a robot and I miss him so much. It's just like an AI program.
The problem, and this is a problem that lots of people run into, anime does this all the time. Just generally speaking, if you think it is a funny joke to have a character who's annoying on purpose, it is not. They are just going to be annoying.
Yeah. There has to be some sort of contrast or growth or character development, kind of like Dawn in Buffy the Vampire Slayer,
sure,
who is super annoying at first, but then she goes through shit and gets better. So does Cordelia in that thing. Sorry, I know, like, Joss Whedon, not a great
person, but like, you know, the cast,
Buffy was made by a lot of people, many of whom were victims of Joss Whedon. So
yes,
we want to exonerate them, like Cordelia, like Charisma Carpenter, incredible role, Cordelia favorite, love, long live Cordelia. Buffy recap podcast? No,
no.
Let me shut that joke down right now. Another tonal whiplash thing is when you're doing anything, including killing people or turning quests in that have very serious outcomes, and then you get the idiot savant proc. And you know what the idiot savant proc sounds like?
What does it sound like? Okay, I don't love that.
It's like, Sean, I found you. Oh my God, it's really you.
Oh, okay, that's not great. I don't love that.
It's so bad.
While we're in the tonal whiplash zone here, I want to take this opportunity to talk about a side quest I stumbled into in Diamond City. Did you do the one with the guy who goes to get in a fight at the bar because the bartender is sleeping with his wife?
No, but that leads to Kate, doesn't it? No, Kate isn't. Oh, shit. Kate's somewhere outside of Diamond City.
So what happens here is, so I show up at the bar and this guy's getting kicked out because he's harassing the bartender because the bartender's sleeping with his wife. And then I can run into him out in Diamond City and he's like, I want to go back and teach that guy a lesson. Will you accompany me? And I said, fucking sure. Okay, whatever. So we show up and he is going to confront the bartender and he pulls out a gun and everyone in the room goes, whoa, buddy. And we try and talk him down, but we can't. And he starts shooting. And so I put three in his head and he drops to the ground. And at this point, the bartender goes, oh man, it sucks you had to kill that guy, but you know, I don't blame you. And actually, you know, can I cut you in on my lucrative drug trade right now? See, I'm going to go buy these drugs off this guy, but then we're going to kill him and take both the money and the drugs. And I was like, one, why are you offering this to me right now? But then two, the only way to... I could just decline and say, no, I'm not interested in that. You can go ahead and do whatever, do it yourself. But
that doesn't have any impact. Like, no. That just cuts that thread loose. Like, you're not...
The only way to decline... I can agree to help him, or I can pick an option that says attack Cook. Cook is his name. At which point, my character says, my plan is simple. We kill you now and them later. And I'm like, what? No, that's not my plan. But, like, the quest has to railroad you forward. Like, it can't give you any exit ramp, but it's got no elegant way to, like, actually make you want to go along with it. So it just...
Yeah, that sounds dumb.
It railroads my character into being this weird psychopath.
Which, hey... lore accurate, I guess. What was that? Fallout 1. There was a tweet by the director, the lead writer of Fallout 4 or something. Here's an article from PC Gamer. It says, update, Fallout 4's lead writer reverses course, clarifies that main character is not actually war criminal. Emil Pagliarulo, sorry if I mispronounced his name, took to Twitter and said, hey, you know that guy that kills Canadians at the start of Fallout 1? And then it's like, in the power armor? That's Nate! And then everyone on Twitter was like, what? No, it's not. This guy, we're supposed to care about finding his son after having taken taken, everything taken from him is actually just a complete Canadian killing psychopath.
Well, yeah, like, because, like, my character is a lawyer because I'm playing as a woman. And like, you mean, like, she's a lawyer and she comes out of the vault and she's immediately just killing.
Yeah.
And it's like, that's fine because the game is Fallout. So you're going to kill a lot of people. But then why put the backstory? Like, just there's, like, creative decisions that constantly feel like they're just sort of mashed up against each other.
That dovetails into my thoughts about the main story is that that's my first point of business is that you are... This helpless, completely helpless civilian, or either you're a lawyer or war veteran, and the war veteran would be a little bit less helpless. But the credibility of your character turning into this sort of mass murdering psychopath at the drop of a hat upon entering the new version of the world we were in is thin at best for one of the options. and there's unlike the show, as we mentioned before, there's no real moments of reckoning or actual danger that your character gets put in to make them have to make horrible choices. And there's nobody that comes to your rescue. In fact, you are coming to other trained militiamen's rescue.
Yes.
You go to Concord and you rescue Preston and the Minutemen from Raiders. Instead, you suddenly are the immediate, the incredible fighter.
It feels like it's really a problem of games of this era. I think we've gotten away from it a little bit. I think we've gotten a bit better about this, but I think about, like, late era BioWare games and, like, Bethesda games from the 2010s that had the same issue of, like, just really kind of paranoid that the player might not feel like their character is the most awesome special person at all times.
Yeah. There's, I think... What was I going to say? Hold on. I think that it would be nice if we had some sort of apart from. So here's the thing, though, that my character did suck, though. Really, in the grand scheme of things, my character was getting blown up by fucking landmines everywhere, or like wasn't one-shotting, and things were just really frustrating. But the story did not acknowledge that in any sort of way. So it does that, and then not only that, you turn into the general of the Minutemen pretty much immediately, and you are suddenly in charge of everyone's well-being.
They're so helpless. They can't do anything.
It's extremely frustrating and not worth engaging in. But we've already talked about that. Point of dissonance number two for me is that it can take anywhere from, like, depending on how distracted you get or how much you actually want to immerse yourself in the world, it can take anywhere from 30 to 70 hours before you realize who the big bad is. And of course, spoilers, it's your son. Mm-hmm. Who does look like you and your parents. So if you took the time to devise some nasty, nasty parents like I did, Sean may have some very wide eyes.
I'm very curious when I get there. So I am actually playing as a black woman because the default black female skin reminded me of Danielle from the show For All Mankind. And I was like, okay, I'm going to play as Danny. And so now I'm very curious what Sean as an adult is going to look like when I find him.
Yeah. So that, and that's my third kind of point of dissonance. Touching back, like, you do know that the Institute are kind of bad, right? But you don't, it doesn't, everything, the hints are kind of there, but I want more than a hint after 30 hours.
I want to know what the Institute is doing. Well,
you don't get to if you don't ally with the Institute immediately. If you don't drop everything that you've already done at that point and say, yes, Sean, I am with you. You are my son and you can do possibly no wrong. Sean Lon Musk. You weirdo.
Can I talk about the newspaper in Diamond City? Because I kind of love it.
Let's get back to it, because the payoff there in terms of character development or time you would be able to spend with your son, either as an ally or an antagonist, is just not there. Like, if you want to actually build up a working relationship with the main antagonist of your game, the main antagonist of your game should not just be there, and also not just be immediately poppable, like I did.
Wait, really?
Of course! I was like, well, my son is like, the son is an adult that I don't know anymore. I have no idea who raised him or how they raised him to be. He's basically not my son, and like my son would be gone, apart from the replica son that's in the pod, and that's weird. And he's like kidnapping people and trying to force them onto this way. And I was just like, is at least this is a Bethesda game. Bam. Like, I can do this. It doesn't. And then what happens is, I mean, you get just either way, you, even if you keep him alive, he dismisses you, and then you get a mission to blow the Institute up to end the game. That's okay. Pretty much it. Like, it's okay. Just, it's just kind of like, all right, like the big way to get the bulk of it is just trying to get into the Institute. The bulk of the story is just trying to get to the Institute. And then, like, right at the end, you find out who the big bad is, and then you kill him.
Why is the Institute making sense?
They're making them to. I'm going to give you one guess. Why are they making humanite, like, indistinguishable human synths?
Because I guess, like, because they want to infiltrate the surface world, but I don't know why they'd want to do that.
No, that's just what everyone's saying. They don't want to infiltrate it. They want to progress mankind.
Oh, okay.
Sir. Of course, yeah.
But do the synth doubles then have the consciousness of the people they replace?
That's probably a really good and interesting plotline that you don't get to examine if you don't spend time with some of the characters that might be synths. Like, okay. I don't know. I didn't spend time in the Institute.
More specific, less abstract question.
Yeah.
I just got to the point where you confront the guy Kellogg who took your son, and it turns and at this point you think that he took your son, like, at most a few years ago.
Mm-hmm.
But because he looked the same as when you saw him break into the pot or whatever, right? But actually, it has been 60 years. So right. One, he is not does not appear to have aged, and two, the kid he was seen in town with can't actually have been Sean, because Sean's an old man at this point.
Yes.
Question: is the resolution to any of those questions not stupid?
What questions were you?
Why does Kellogg not look like he's aged? And who was the kid he had in town? If it's not,
I mean,
Sean?
Institute synth tech, I guess he just. Okay. That's what they say for that, and that's a robot. That's another synth. That's just a Sean synth.
Oh, why is there a child? Never mind. We don't need to get into it.
I don't know. Because they think he's the. Well, they have the Institute abducted Sean because he's the perfect uncorrupted specimen,
right,
preserved
yes.
in time, yada yada. And they kept you alive as a backup, which stupid. That's the dumbest thing I've ever seen in my life. Why would they kill everyone else?
Speaking to that just a little bit, like, this also. Again, kind of some games of this era, what? Really has the problem of, like, going with, like, the parental concern for one's child as, like, an initial input, like, driving force
to kill literally everyone that you meet.
Which, and I want to be clear here, like, you know, like, look, if you are a parent, you love the fuck out of your kid. Like, I get it, you get very protective, all of that. It's all there's stuff you can mine there, but it has to go a little bit further than the first step of, like, the immediate emotional reaction of just, like, my character just running around everywhere, not listening to anything anyone says, and just going, "Where's Sean? Sean, have you seen Sean? My child, Sean. Where is Sean? Do you know where Sean is?"
Oh my God. Yeah, pretty much. There has to be an organic progression of character growth and development, and that is missing from this game, to be perfectly honest, from the protagonist. Some other characters, they learn a lesson or two, or they're just generally nice to be around. But I wouldn't say there's a whole lot of growth to be had in the game in general. So
I kind of alluded to it, I think, last week, but, like, I'd either give me a silent protagonist or give me a protagonist who's, like, well thought out enough to have their own distinct character. Trying to split the difference here.
But they're sarcastic.
You can be very sarcastic.
You can be sarcastic the whole time, and you should. Please, don't take this game seriously.
Especially because there are no consequences.
Absolutely none. None whatsoever. There are no consequences to murder or sarcasm.
Okay, but
yeah, the biggest... All that is leading to say is that this main story plays big second fiddle to the smaller and micro mysteries or in thrilling arcs in the Commonwealth that do exist, that are worth checking the game out, especially if it's on sale.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Vault 75, I mentioned. The USS Constitution. Hilarious. That is a hilarious quest. The House of Cabot is fascinating and intriguing, and there's a mystery there that just, like, never gets solved. And that's like, what the fuck is this? The Quincy Ruins fight is really satisfying when you get to take down the people that ran the Minutemen out. Dunwich Borer's excavation. If you know, you know. That shit's fucking genuinely terrifying. I don't want to go back. It's so good.
Should I keep playing this game and just ignore, like, the main story stuff and go after that?
I do what? Yeah, you can't take it seriously. go after things. Do things fun. I also want to shout out the Massachusetts State House. If you know, you know. If you know what's at the bottom of the state house, you know what's at the bottom of the state house. And that made me change my pants. I'll tell you that. It's not good. But maybe, so there's these really excellent dungeons and places and beacons of fun gameplay that exist in Fallout 4, but they are sort of wrapped in a below average package. Part of it is due to the time of the game. You mentioned that, like, you know, a lot of games at this time, early 2010s, are too afraid to make you want to fail or anything like that. But this is 2015, and the competition at this point is what? Bloodborne? And
yeah,
what other game? 2015 games. So this is a Metal Gear Solid 5. Talk about like stealth infiltration gameplay. Talk about intense combat that exists elsewhere. So Fallout 4 just kind of ends up being sort of it's a Bethesda package that would have been great had it been released a couple years sooner. But to be fair to Fallout 4 as an open world game, it still does the job really well. This is like pre Breath of the Wild. You know, where Breath of the Wild changed everything, model. Where it's like, mm-hmm. You see, there you can go.
And I don't mind this open world model. Like, I think this model still has, like, some juice in it. Like, mm-hmm. It's not... the world itself doesn't feel dated necessarily in that way. Like I said, I like the process of exploring.
Yeah, it just is dated in that it's not all put together in a way that is coherent and tells a story of what actually happened here. It's all sort of disparate. Unlike something like Horizon Zero Dawn, that is another post-apocalyptic world hellscape, but all of the disparate, the things like the cauldrons and the tourist sites and the logs of the old world logs and tech that you find are all slowly unearthing this greater puzzle of what happened here. We kind of know what happened, but we also kind of don't. Like, we still don't really know who dropped, unless I'm mistaken, who like dropped the first bombs or what caused anything. And maybe that's a mystery that's better left untold.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, no, definitely. We never should find out what happened in that war.
We should at least know some people's perspectives and motivations and why some people retaliated or something larger than what's going on, because there is a lack of cohesion among the games in the Fallout franchise that is plaguing the TV show now. There's some chronology issues that are happening with particularly Shady Sands in New Vegas and the TV show, and people are like, huh? So it's hard to a big Fallout fan, but it's that you do. I always take the games with a grain of salt and take the games not quite so seriously, just sort of as a vibe and a goofy time. And then it's a lot less frustrating that way.
Yeah. Well, and if we're wrapping up our Fallout 4 discussion, it sounds like we are.
Yeah.
I'd like to talk about, I think as an example of my experience with this game, I want to talk about like the little newspaper, handwritten newspaper you find in Diamond City.
Yes, we'll come back to that.
Because it is a great example of this game when it delights me and this game when it confounds me. In Diamond City, early on, you can find a handwritten newspaper, several copies of it, that are being run out. And it appears to be some sort of like piece of reporting, but written in like a narrative style. And the bit that I love about it is that it opens like this. It says, "Noodles. We all eat them. It's a human experience. I was enjoying noodles the other night." And it uses this like a kickoff for like a history of like, there was a man here who once ate some noodles, and he shared a story with me. And it's a pitch perfect parody mm-hmm. of the kind of like super pretentious piece you find in like The Atlantic or The Cut or something.
Yeah.
And just like that being kind of like spot on and so utterly bizarre to find someone writing in this style in the middle of the post-apocalyptic wasteland, it genuinely made me laugh out loud.
That's funny as hell.
But then also it's conveying a story from 60 years ago when a man in a bar fell down shaking and was revealed to be a synth. And it makes the whole timeline thing really weird because I'm like, 60 years ago, not 6 years ago, 60 years ago, before most people in this city were born. And it just... it's being discussed like it's a story that you heard from a geezer who you met at the bar. But the geezer you met at the bar would have to be like... 95 now? Just like,
if he's a ghoul, maybe.
All kinds of weird timeline stuff. Like, it just, it feels a little bit half-baked.
It certainly is a game that is constantly at odds with itself when it comes to chronology. There are funnier anachronisms than others, and that's part of it, I guess. Mm-hmm. It's just sort of, go with it. It's a,
like, I really have to just embrace the fact that this world and the ways that people live in it make zero sense. Because
it's a lot easier. It's a lot less realistic and harrowing than something like Cyberpunk, which feels a lot weirdly, while 2077, the world of Night City feels technologically a lot farther away, thematically a lot closer, and impactfully a lot closer to what we're experiencing today.
Kind
of things. So
if I stop and ask myself, why are there a bunch of guys who act like old gangsters? What kind of organized crime exists in this world? Are there laws? Then I just have to stop thinking.
Yeah, like, stop thinking, just understand that the tunnel snakes rule.
Tunnel snakes rule.
Tunnel snakes rule, and war never changes. I give this game 7 out of 10 buds, I'd say.
I don't feel like I can rate it yet, but I'd probably go a bit lower.
Like, I enjoyed my time with it. I'm going to do one more stream with it on twitch.tv/dramahouse. What a plug. Yeah, I've been streaming this game a lot. That's been a big motivator going through, just so I could, like, have an outlet for my complaints about this game, to just kind of, like, all right, like, you guys see what's happening here, right? You guys see that this is a little bit stupid, but whatever. Let's just get through it. And plus, the jump scares make for clip fodder, which, you know, why not? Anyway, I was glad to have finished it, but I'm pretty glad to be done with it. I'm doing a second playthrough for shits and giggles, but a lot of the novelty has worn off at this point. I'm ready to move on. Really glad. That's been in my backlog for a really long time. I do think that it does get a lot of undue hate, and I think it does a lot of things more successfully than its predecessors, including New Vegas. But I do think it also takes some narrative, thematic, and mechanic steps in directions I don't really appreciate.
I think for me, writing is always so important in a game that it's going to be nearly impossible for even good gameplay to overcome really bad writing.
Fair enough. We are going to get a word in from our sponsor of the week, and then we will be back with a lovely, fun B segment, as usual.
Yeah.
See you then.
We're going to read some ads.
Are the men in your area just not cutting it when it comes to taking care of your needs?
Well, I can't say they are.
Have you left the basements of Good Neighbor feeling not so good?
I thought I was the only one.
Is the same old missile that you wonder glued to a tire iron not getting the job done these days?
It is feeling a bit worn.
Then you need Atom and Cleave's new Big Boy Prime.
I say, tell me more.
Unlike the jetted up raiders that you're used to, we guarantee this fat man will nuke your rad roach to orbit. We use nuclear fission to set off a chain reaction in your personal vault that will shock and appall those that discover your remains centuries from now.
To be clear, you're saying I'll have a screaming orgasm?
But don't take our word for it. Hear it from our very satisfied customer.
Oh, please inform me.
Hold on. But don't take our word for it. Hear some But don't take our word for it. Here are some testimonials. But don't take our word for it. Here are some testimonials from our very satisfied customers.
Ooh.
Is this thing on? I always wanted to get railed by a super mutant, and this is the next best thing. Trinity Towers got nothing on the Big Boy Prime.
I can barely feel anything anymore after 200 years of radiation exposure, and the Big Boy Prime is the closest I've come to anything remotely resembling pleasure. I love it.
I have only acquired this to understand old world technology, as per the creed of the Brotherhood. It would be against everything I believe in as a paladin if I were to blast my organic and definitely non-synthetic man pussy with this piece of sacred, sacred technology.
Wow, with candid testimonials like that, who could say no?
And if you can't say no to those testimonials like this broad here, don't wait to pick up your Big Boy Prime today. Just head on over to Vault 69 to start the vetting process to see if you're special enough to withstand the power of the Big Boy Prime.
And don't worry, mine came in very discreet packaging.
It's cardboard and meat. Well, what a lovely, fun segment that was for everyone to take advantage of that special offer is so special.
That was Vault 69, you said?
I didn't say anything. So we're going to move on to our B segment. And this B segment is a new B segment I like to call Review Bombs for Peace.
Is that a Final Fantasy 14 reference?
You might think that that's just a Bombs for Peace. What the hell is it called? Bombs for Peace, NATO's humanitarian war on the you know, the book that's a thorough autopsy of the destruction of Yugoslavia. But no, it's in fact a level 69 side quest from the peaks in Garabania called Bombs for Peace.
Okay, sure.
This is...
Look, the entire corpus of human text is in the Final Fantasy quests because they've had to make so many of them. So really, we can just kind of, we can pull whatever.
Now you're getting the bit! It's like, finally! I am going to go through, I've picked up some of the 1400 Metacritic user reviews. I am going to read out the text, and you are going to guess the numerical value that these users have submitted based on the text.
This sounds great.
If you are 1 point away from the total, you'll get 1 point. If you're bang on, you'll get two, and we'll see how many points you get out of 10 at the end. There are five.
Okay? It's like a reward? You have like Jolly Ranchers or something?
No.
Okay.
But you can go reward yourself. There's a 7-Eleven nearby. You can get yourself a treat. You're an adult.
Do they sell Jolly Ranchers? Never mind. Okay.
Of course they do.
I don't know, man. I know the last time I saw a Jolly Rancher in a 7-Eleven.
Oh, you weren't looking for them, I guess. Anyway, this is rule number one of the wasteland, getting completely sidetracked. I'm going to read out again the text of the review. I'm going to give credit to the author, of course. Of course. And then you're going to give me what you think. You get one guess for the review, and you're just going to move on. So this is review number one by Blimpy Pebbles on January 9th, 2024.
Recent. Okay.
As of January 2024, Fallout 4 is still Bethesda's last great game. I'm starting to think the glory days of Oblivion, Fallout 3, New Vegas, Skyrim, and Fallout 4 are over. A good story, good combat, amazing building, and while there aren't as many interesting locations as Fallout 3, it still has great locations. I don't get the hate for this game. I think people have just become spoiled and entitled. End of review.
10 out of 10.
You're locking that in?
Yeah.
Okay. You get 1 point. That is a 9 out of 10.
Okay.
All right, that one is pretty good. You get 1 point. Hey, I mean, 5 out of 10 is still a passing grade. So, number two from user Ashir on October 22nd, 2023. I think most of these reviews are pretty recent, actually. I didn't scroll that far back. A solid enough return to the Fallout franchise. Severely let down by the dialogue system and some very basic factions and NPC characterization. End of review.
7.8 out of 10.
There's no decimals.
7 out of 10.
Alex, you get 0 points. This was a 5 out of 10.
I went too high.
I'm too high.
I'm used to people using the gamer scale, for which 7 out of 10 is thoroughly mediocre.
No, only critics use the gamer scale.
Okay.
And that's because they were paid to. That's because of money. Number three, by user Mudskitten. Mudskitten, May 24th, 2023. Fallout, except the target audience is 10-year-olds. Cartoonish characters for the most part, weapons who don't make sense. Most of them are ugly pipe guns who can shoot 0.5 50 cal. Not even a crackhead would believe that thing to be possible. Jesus.
Did you pre-read these?
No, I wanted to pre-read. Some of them I did. And the rest have poor attention to details. Devs should hire a gun expert to make better guns, though I believe even simple common sense would have prevented them from making such mistakes. Lever-action shotgun has not even a proper reload animation. But I guess they don't care as, quote, mods will fix it, quote. Big disappointment. Next time, make Obsidian make a good Fallout game. As if the laser rifles and the recharging plasma rifles in Obsidian are any better.
New Vegas, famous for its good gun selection.
For its really realistic gunplay. Oh my god.
3 out of 10?
I'm starting to think maybe I should have given you 1 point for two off, because this is a 1 out of 10.
Okay.
Maybe next time I'll be like 3 points, 2 points, 1 point.
Okay.
But whatever, we'll stick with this for now. This is fun.
This is great.
Number four. From December 23rd, 2023, user score 0_89. Hey, that's the year I was born. Never I've played a game that I hated to love and loved to hate this much. Everything you've heard is true, from the dumbed-down mechanics to the awful story with all its nonsensical plot twists. I really do feel like I don't really have to point out every issue here. All Fallout 4's problems are self-apparent and have been talked to death already. What I'll say, though, is that the main saving grace for this sorry excuse of a Fallout entry is the gameplay loop, credit where credit is due, where they came up with this quite addictive indeed. I only wish that everything surrounding it wasn't the gaming equivalent of tofu.
5 out of 10.
You get a point. That's 4 out of 10.
Oh, I almost really went good. 4. Also, why did this person write the review if all they were going to say was everything else has been said already?
And it was one small sentence and then one giant sentence. I couldn't. I should have thought to. I like thought midway through I could have made it a game to try and say that all in one breath, but I didn't. Anyway,
I'm number 3 points so far.
Number 5 from Hater de FNAF 3. So hater of Five Nights at Freddy's 3 from October 14th, 2023. Uma merda, New Vegas on top.
6 out of 10.
Uma merda is a shit.
Oh, okay. 2 out of 10.
Is that your final answer?
1 out of 10.
That was a 10 out of 10?
Really? What the fuck?
I'm not kidding.
You tricked me.
Look at this. You have to understand that Metacritic user reviews don't make sense. I'm not lying.
You fucking tricked me.
It's a 10. I got a bonus round, though. We can make some points up.
Okay. What's the bonus round?
This is from user Sun7. Okay, God, this is going to be great. Encore beaucoup de bugs en 2024. Le jeu de l'art est certain PNJ se coince dans le mur. Le jeu que se ferme sans encourageant. C'est un tour après 8 ans et dommage et de DLC. Is that how you say it?
8 out of 10?
I'm sorry, in fact it was a 4. Encore beaucoup de bugs. Beaucoup de bugs was
okay,
a big
beaucoup
one.
Beaucoup de bugs, try to remember the hint. I did have a fun inconsequential bug where, you know the elevator that takes you up to the mayor's place in Diamond City?
No, I didn't fuck with the mayor.
Oh, you didn't go?
No, I should have.
There's this yellow mechanical elevator thing that lifts you up, and it's got this little walkway that folds down at the top and bottom so you can get off it. Yes. Somehow I got the states inverted such that when it's at the top and bottom, the walkway is folded up and you have to like run around and jump into it, but when it's rising, then the walkway extends, and so you have to clamber your way into this elevator, press the button, the walkway extends while it rises and then folds up again when you reach the top.
You have to understand that by the time I made it to Diamond City, it was like 60 hours in.
Oh, okay.
So I was kind of like, all right, I'm going to try and maybe get to some new chapters of gameplay. So I didn't spend too much time there. Anyway, that was a fun little segment. You got 2 points?
Three points.
You would have had probably like 5 points had I done the different, more forgiving scale. But the joke is that what people are saying when they review bomb something. The aggregate score of this game, maybe I should have given you that. The aggregate score of this game was 6.9 on PC.
I think that is fair. Yeah. You know, I think this game is a 6.9 at buds out of 10.
So that is our thoughts on Fallout. If you joined us playing it, or you joined the rest of the world that's playing it, let us know what you thought in our Discord or on Blue Sky or anything like that. That would be really great. We would love to hear from you and on either of those platforms. I mean, I'm most active on Discord. He's most active on Blue Sky.
It's like Twitter, but good.
As much. So we are going to now, of course, we're out of a theme, right? Yeah, it's the end of the month.
What are we doing for May?
Springtime is sprung. And I got the hankering. Well, kind of what we've been trying to do, what I've been trying to subtly do is that the newfound adventure, or what we're going to do going forward, is kind of lead things into each other. Like, I always like to think that there's a hook for the newfound adventure for the next theme.
Some kind of transition.
And this one is the fucking base building.
Oh, right? Sure. Okay, yeah.
This base building sucks ass. And I was like, do I really hate base building or do I not like it? And what better games to build bases in than farms? Listen, farming games are due. We got the latest Stardew update, right?
Yeah, we got the big Stardew update.
You build your farm out like a base. You build your crops with thoroughly thought-out systems. And we're going to be talking about the new Stardew Valley 1.6 update for our new found adventure. In the episodes upcoming to it, we're going to be playing all sorts of fun farming games.
Like Farm Simulator.
Like Farming Simulator 22, right? That's the latest one?
Yes.
That's what we're going to do. That's going to be one of the episodes. It is a farming May month. We are harvesting our crops. We're getting cozy. I'm done with the fucking jump scares. I want something relaxing.
Yeah,
okay?
Stardew's got another hook. Stardew has that dungeon. There's some gnarly shit down there.
No, I don't think I'm going to be able to maintain the hook thing. But there was a genuine hook this time. I was like, this base building sucks. In May, I want to do good base building and stuff. We were thinking about, we have the episodes planned for now. And next week, we're actually not going to talk about Farming Simulator. We're going way back.
All the way back.
We're going to play Harvest Moon for the Super Nintendo.
The original
Harvest Moon. We're going to take a dive into that shit. I love Super Nintendo games. I'm very excited for this. Did not play Harvest Moon Super Nintendo.
I've never played that one.
This is new for me. I played 64, which was cool.
I played Friends of Mineral Town. That was a big one when I was a kid.
I have never heard of that.
It's a Game Boy Advance one.
Yeah, okay. Farming games are something that I have typically very little patience for. So I want to really challenge myself to see if I can't enjoy one of them. This is going to be hard for me, but okay. I'm willing to give this a shot because I'm just like, there's no way I can hate an entire thing like of base building and farming and crops and stuff like that. There's no way I can dislike an entire genre, right? So we're going to do all the good ones.
Doing all the good ones.
And we will certainly be streaming and talking about, and we will certainly be doing multiplayer Stardew at some point over the course of the month.
Absolutely. And we might stream that.
We will definitely stream that. So keep an eye out for notifications in the Discord for that kind of thing. We'll have more bud strids with that because Fallout did not have multiplayer.
Nope. No real good way to do
it. It certainly streamed a lot of it. Well, that's not true. What am I talking about? We could have done Fallout 76.
No, yeah, but I didn't want to.
There's more base building than that. I don't want to do the Fallout base building.
I don't want to play Fallout multiplayer.
Yeah, fair enough. Anyway, we're done griping about this. This was a really fun month. Really enjoyed doing Fallout month this month. Again, very pleasantly surprised by the TV show. It was great to do New Vegas. That's been my quest log this week. I've just been playing New Vegas as well. It's been like I said I was going to return to New Vegas, and I am. I'm still hanging around with Edie and my gay scientist lover. So that's been fun for me. Apart from getting engaged, any quest log stuff?
I saw the movie Monkey Man. It's really good. I don't know. I liked it. That's my quest log.
With that being said, we will see you next week for Harvest Moon SNES at the start of Farming May on Stormbuds. Thank you all so much for listening, and we will see you next week. Born of Buds, Storm of Buds. We've been the Stormbuds, baby.
Giddy up.
Bye-bye. Hold on. But don't take our word for it. Here, some But don't take our word for it. Here are some testimonials. But don't take our word for it. Here are some testimonials from our very satisfied customers.
Ooh.